A documentary that claims to tell the story of Islam as never publicly told before. The result, a barrage of criticism. Did the film deliberately ignore pieces of history to support the assumption that Mecca may not have been the birthplace of Prophet Muhammad and to question when the Quran was written? On this edition of News Analysis, we're looking into a controversial film that's been described as the untrue story rather than the untold story of Islam.
The problem of writing the history of the rise of Islam, the Untold Story, was the title of the Channel 4 documentary that stirred a lot of controversy. It was presented by historian Tom Holland. In that program, Holland put forth a set of claims that sent shockwaves through the Muslim world. He suggested there was little evidence about the origin of Islam. He also questioned the time when the Holy Quran was written and said Mecca may not have been the real birthplace of Prophet Muhammad. The show drew angry reactions from around the world. Channel 4 and media regulator Ofcom received a staggering number of complaints from people who questioned the program's motives. Critics, including the UK-based Islamic Education and Research Academy, say the program was historically inaccurate and clearly biased. Many say it's just part of a campaign by the West to target Islam and stir Islamophobia.
It's a continuation of the misinformation war relating to Islam. It also shows that the Western media, under Zionist control, feel free to air anything that they would like about Islam.
Channel 4 later argued that the program was meant to stimulate a well-informed debate, with Holland saying that Islam was a legitimate subject of historian inquiry. But critics refute that argument as implausible, especially against the backdrop of how Western governments and their media approach the coverage of controversial topics that threaten their interests. One known example is the Holocaust. The US and its Western allies have stepped up efforts to create Islamophobia and insult Islam in recent years. Take these cases, for instance. A few years ago, a Danish newspaper printed caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad, which sparked Muslim outrage around the world. But newspapers across Europe defiantly reprinted the insulting images. Add to that, copies of the Holy Quran burnt on several occasions in the US or by American forces in Afghanistan, with no efforts taken to prevent the sacrilegious acts or punish the perpetrators.
Well, joining me now live from Washington is the Imam of Masjidul Islam, Mr. Abdul Alim Musa. With us also from London is political analyst and commentator, Mr. Sayed Inayatullah Andrabi, and also from the United States in Coeur d'Alene via Skype, co-founder of the Crescent and Cross Solidarity Movement, Mr. Mark Glenn. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being with us. Mr. Glenn, I don't know if you got the whole question. The question was, are the sources that have been put forward by the director, the producer of the film, reliable sources?
Well, I'll admit up front that I have not yet seen the film. However, I have read about the controversy surrounding it, and I cannot escape any other conclusion other than that this was just a political act meant to inflame already bad tensions and relations between the West and the Islamic world. And I think that it's very important to note in this discussion, as was pointed out earlier in the introduction, that this is not about stirring intelligent commentary and debate on a specific subject. In various countries around the world, if anyone were to question for the same reasons, you know, open debate and informed inquiry, issues involving the Holocaust or anything that happens to threaten Zionist political interests, well, they stand a very good chance of being turned into prison, at the very least losing their employment. So this is not, as it is being billed by its producers, as being something that is designed to broaden our knowledge of things. It is political in nature, and it is being done to inflame the already bad relations that exist between the West and the Islamic world.
Well, I'm just hearing that our guest in London is back with us now. Mr. Andrabi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. Well, Channel 4 in the UK has said that the documentary is, quote, an extraordinary detective story in which Holland found himself embroiled in an underground but seismic debate, in their words, the issue of whether, as Muslims have always believed, Islam was born fully formed in all its fundamentals or else evolved gradually over many years. But one question, as was pointed out there by Mark Glenn, why Channel 4 and Holland basically decide to question the issues of such importance in Islam?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Tim Holland is a historian, and as historian, he can always raise questions, or he can question anything. But the main point here is why the documentary was aired on Channel 4, and Channel 4 is a channel that's viewed by families in this country. There are some channels, for example, there's a channel BBC4, which is mainly meant for serious discussions, but Channel 4 is an ordinary channel. It is viewed for news, for entertainment, and to air a program on Channel 4, it really raises questions about the motives. What were the motives behind this program? Now, this is you are not raising serious questions in an academic seminar at a conference. You are raising questions in a TV program which is watched by parents, children, young, growing Muslims, men and women, and it really does not leave a good impact. I watched it myself. My family watched it. It was really in a very bad taste. It did not leave a good impact. And as we go on talking, I will say something about the content of the program. How questionable was the content? But my point is that it did not leave a good impact. It really created the Islamophobic sentiment, and it really contributed to those people who wanted to create a wedge, who wanted to create barriers between the Muslims and the rest of the community in this country and the West.
You say again, the content of the program, it has become a main issue of debate now, going viral in the internet. Let's just go to Washington, I guess, Mr. Abdulhadi Musa, and have his view on this as well. Mr. Musa, Holland himself has said that, in his words, we went to every effort to ensure that the perspective of a Muslim faith was represented. He says both in the persons of ordinary Bedouins in the desert and one of the greatest modern scholars of Islam, Sayyid Hussein Nas. But the question is, did the film basically represent Islam as the majority of Muslims see it? I mean, for one, the IERA, a prominent Islamic society, has argued, how can Bedouins contribute to academic debate and only one modern scholar, Mr. Hussein Nas, being interviewed rather than more specializing in the specific field? And of course, the two main historians there mentioned, Patricia Crone and Fred Donner. I mean, he could have gone to Al-Azhar University, for instance, in Egypt, to get those scholars' views, or the city of Qom in Iran for real research.
First of all, I believe that as Muslims, we should not waste or use any of our time chasing after these lunatics. First of all, they put out an impossibility. The most researched reality, one of the most researched realities in the world today, is the reality of Islam, is the reality that there was a person called Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there is a place called Mecca, that there are millions of people that go there each year to celebrate this personality and the Prophet Ibrahim, and that there is a book called the Quran that millions of people know by heart. So for us to waste any time arguing with some lunatic shows that we are not firm in our faith. If they want to continue with this exaggerated Islamophobia, let them continue. This is the way Islam will prove itself. Let us teach the world what Islam is, not what Islam is not. So let these lunatics rave and rant. We shouldn't use any time. We should use our media, our magazines. We should use all of the assets at our disposal to educate people on the beauty of Islam, the peace-loving Muslims, those who are living in America, in UK, all over the world. Teach them how much we're contributing to each and every society where we reside. And let them run around and spread this 911-ism. Let them spread all of these wars, because the people are now beginning to wake up about the real beauty of Islam,
right,
who the Zionists are, who the Americans are, and who the Saudis are, starting all of these problems for Islam and Muslims.
Right. Mr. Mark Glenn, something that's been mentioned specifically both by the maker of this film and by Channel 4 itself is viewing this in a historical context and an academic work, so to speak. This is how they are speaking about it. They're not, for instance, saying that this is a personal view. They're saying that this is an attempt, at least by a historian, to find out what happened in history when it comes to the origins of Islam. But one of the daring, rather, assumptions that Mr. Holland has made in this film is that he says he's going to reject the Islamic historical tradition. He's not going to use those sources in his program. But can you investigate, for instance, the origins of any religion, any idea, without the sources of that religion or idea? Is this academically viable?
No, of course not. To say that he's not going to rely on any Islamic sources would be no different than some Muslim scholar in Saudi Arabia writing on the history of early Great Britain, and yet they're not going to use any of the original documents that appeared in the early days of Great Britain's founding. So this is just more an attempt on his part, and more importantly, on the powerful interests who are funding and directing his academic work. Well, I put that word in quotation marks. It's just more of a way of trying to put an academic face on it, make it appear more respectable than it is. And I would agree with everything that the good imam said earlier about not getting too wrapped up or emotionally attached to what is going on here. But at the same time, I think that we have to be very careful about this. This is exactly the manner by which giant propaganda wars are fought as a precursor to initiating actual military actions against a group of people. And I think that this is extremely dangerous, particularly for the young people in the Islamic world, because as the other guest pointed out, this is being broadcast on a family channel in the UK that is going to be watched by young Muslims. And now they're going to be put in this position where they're going to begin questioning the very foundations of who they are. And, of course, this is exactly what organized Zionist interests want, is to weaken the Islamic world, because at present the Islamic world is the only substantive force that is standing up against this diabolical agenda to depopulate the world of people who are trying to lead good, righteous lives and who believe in God.
Back to London, Mr. Andrabi, would you go as far as saying that this isn't a historian, so to speak, trying to find out through research and through speaking with various scholars going to various places to investigate the birth of Islam? Would you say that actually this is too off the mark and is suggesting some other agenda? Basically, Holland himself has said that he was aware of the deeply held, in his words, sensitivities, but he did go ahead and make the film anyway. Why?
Well, something that is very clear from the program is that the author of the program is definitely pursuing his own agenda, and he is picking up the verses from the Quran, and he is meeting the people, he is going to the places accordingly, but he is driven by an agenda. If it was not so, then, as you referred to, those people who have come up with a critical examination of this documentary, they have raised the proper questions. For example, why did he ignore and why he insisted on ignoring all the Islamic scholarship? Is there no Islamic scholarship on the history of Islam? Now, as we know, as the Imam can tell us, there are very authentic books like, for example, the history of Tabari, the very early books written about the history of Islam, and they stand out for the level of their scholarship. And why this guy, why did he chose to ignore all the Islamic scholarship? Why did he discount all the oral tradition as useless? Mm. Now, oral tradition has also its place in Islamic scholarship. We have a sort of branch of knowledge has been developed around, and that is the branch of knowledge is the how to scrutinize the human narration, how to scrutinize the people who narrate. Now, this is a full scholarship has developed over centuries. Why did this guy choose to ignore all this? And why did he not see, as you rightly said, why did he not consult a proper Islamic scholar specialized in history rather than philosophy, as Professor Nasr is? So this raises questions about the very motives of the program.
But I just like to put that question.
He was pursuing an agenda there.
Yeah, let's put that question to the Imam, Mr. Musa. Again, when he says that he is going to reject the historical tradition of Islam, the question I guess raises there in London, why did he make that rejection in the first place? And as an Islamic scholar yourself, is there non-Islamic material out there to, again, prove the origins of Islam in history that you would say he's actually ignored?
He don't even have to study about what Muslims have said. He could go to the internet. He could study the Encyclopedia Britannica. He could go to many of the Oriental Institutes right there in London, or some of the very seats of Western and Oriental learning that have specialized in Eastern, Asian, and Islamic studies. And so a person does not even have to resort to Islamic research. But again, I don't think that our people should worry about this type of problem. I can give you several examples, or two. Number one, Salman Rushdie. When he came out with Satanic Verses, look at the rising of the Islamic tide in the UK itself. Why? Because many people who were in bars and everywhere else that was not even concerned about Islam, when they saw someone attacking Islam, they themselves put down their alcohol, picked up orange juice, and returned to the masjid. In the US, this last Ramadan, we attended night prayers at many centers. Islam has exploded in America. It is the more that they lie against Islam, the more they threaten Islam, the more they invade our countries, the more professional fitna right. that they challenge us with, the quicker, the greater the numbers that we return to Islam. This is what we are noticing here in America right now. Mm. No way we could have reached as many people as these 9/11 liars, as these London bomber liars, right? As these suicide bomber liars. Mm. What happens is the people begin to research on their own, and you'll find that every American, white and black, that have came to Islam have done it based on their own research.
Right.
And so we feel that these people are actually doing a service. The last thing I'll mention is the Quran itself. Wa makaru Allahu, Allahu khairul makareen. They plan, Allah plans, and most surely Allah is the best of planners.
Right. Thank you very much. Mark Glenn, Muslims have been accused already of acting disproportionately to this film. They're even being accused of being incapable of accepting criticism on their faith. Would you also agree with our guest in Washington about the way Muslims should be treating this documentary and whether they should actually stand against and start criticizing documentaries like this against their faith or questioning their faith?
Well, I can tell you this as a Christian living in the West, that for many years when our faith, different aspects of our faith were attacked by organized Jewish interests, we did nothing about it. We didn't protest. We didn't organize ourselves in the form of economic boycotts or anything like this. And as a result of this now, our religion, our country has basically been denuded of any vestiges of real Christianity. Look at what has happened just in the United States. Now Christianity is equated with going and invading Islamic lands and killing innocent women and children. So I think that the Muslim response to this has been perfectly appropriate. I think that that the Muslim community is a very rational, a very reasonable community, and you know, they're not burning things down. They're not they're not torching churches the way that we see taking place in Israel right now by these West Bank settlers who don't like the Christians being there. I think they've been very reasonable about this, and I think that their response has been perfectly appropriate. At the same time, however, I think that we must stand up against these things now, because if you wait until it's too late to stand up, then indeed it is too late. But I do agree also with what the Imam said, as it is written in the Quran, that the evildoers will plot, but God is the wisest of plotters, and I believe at the end of the day that God is going to have the final say in all of it.
Thank you very much, Mark Glenn, co-founder of Crescent and Cross Solidarity Movement, joining us there from Coeur d'Alene via Skype. I'm afraid we've run out of time. I'd also like to thank our guests in London, Mr. Syed Inayatullah and Rabi, a political commentator and analyst, and also with us from Washington, the Imam of Masjid al-Islam, Mr. Abdul Alim Musa. Thank you very much, gentlemen, and thank you for staying with another edition of News Analysis from me, Homa Lezgi. Until our next programme, goodbye.